This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with John McKenna. He's the president of the Recreational Aviation Foundation, and they're a pretty unique group, and they have a certain little niche that they've been working really hard at for about 10 years or so to help protect pilots' access to wilderness areas. And so, John, thanks for talking to us. Why don't you give us sort of the background? What is this organization all about?
Well, thank you, Mary. The Recreational Aviation Foundation started with six of us sitting around a campfire one evening and having enjoyed a great day of flying, and sort of got to thinking that if somebody didn't get busy taking care of these unique and recreational destinations, if somebody didn't do something about it, they were likely to be lost. And so we adopted somewhat of a statement that if it wasn't going to be us, who was it going to be? And if it wasn't going to be now, when was it going to be? So we woke up in the morning, we each threw a few bucks in the hat, and we formed the Recreational Aviation Foundation, or as we like to call it, the RAF. That was, as I said, 10 years ago with six of us. Today, there's about 5,600 members nationwide. All states are covered, 14 foreign countries. And we operate, Mary, largely on the honor system, if you please, or something like the public radio system. If people think we're doing a good job, they send us a few dollars. If they think we're doing a great job, they send us a few more. We're an all-volunteer group, but for one person who dots the I's, crosses the T's, and makes sure the mail goes out. But other than that, everybody who's involved is a volunteer.
Oh, okay. Now, do you expressly deal with airstrips on public lands like national parks and Bureau of Land Management, or just any remote little airstrips?
Well, it likely started out with the idea that it was those, shall we say, remote airstrips on public lands. But our goal is to protect unique recreational flying destinations, and they don't necessarily have to be in the bottom of a deep river canyon in the state of Idaho, for example. We're a national organization, and although we're based in Bozeman, Montana, our interests are largely national. Just yesterday, I pushed two things off my desk where we signed agreements with the Department of Natural Resources in the state of Michigan to begin the process to reopen two airstrips, one known as North Fox Island, which is actually in the middle of Lake Michigan, and another one in the Upper Peninsula known as Two Hearted. We were successful last year in opening a new strip in Florida, or one that had heretofore been closed, called Blackwater. So we're by no means an organization that just operates in the West.
Oh, okay. Now, I know you've been involved in some kind of big projects lately. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Well, one of the things that we stick pretty close to our mission. That's made running the organization much easier. And our mission is largely to preserve, to maintain, and to create recreational destinations across the country. To that end, we joined hands with the Bureau of Land Management on a lawsuit issue that was filed by some groups who sought to close large tracts of land in a place called the Missouri River Breaks. And after going through the district court and the Court of Appeals and a nearly five-year process and many thousands of dollars, we believe we've prevailed, and there are now six airstrips in the Missouri River Breaks National Monument that should be open for aviators into the future. We feel as though, had it not been for our efforts and the efforts of somebody like the Montana Pilots Association joining with us, those would likely have been lost.
Once you've preserved these places, do you work at, you know, keeping them open and maintaining them and that kind of thing?
Well, sure, and that actually becomes the fun part. As a matter of fact, last weekend I joined with some of the other folks from here in Montana and went out to work on one known as Russian Flat. And that actually is a unique one because it's the first new airstrip built on United States Forest Service land in over 50 years. And we went through, obviously, an extensive planning process and review process, and were able to get that strip constructed 2 or 3 years ago. And so to see something go from a grassy meadow to where there's an airstrip with camping facilities that is highly highly accessible by a large, wide variety of the aviation community, it's been one of the rewarding moments of the organization. We've acquired through donation private lands that we now hold, and we're involved in, for example, the only agreement with the National Park Service that an aviation organization has. We have an agreement with United States National Park System to maintain the three airstrips in Death Valley, the Chicken Strip, the Stovepipe Wells, and Furnace Creek. So we sort of have learned to cover the gamut. We spend more than a disproportionate amount of time, frankly, in Washington, D.C., but through that effort, we've been invited to testify in front of various congressional committees, and we believe, although we don't toot our horn as loud as we should, we think we're getting things done, and that's what we're most proud of, is we'd rather just get things done than talk about them.
Okay, and if people want to find out more, if they want to learn about your organization or maybe join up, where would they go for info?
Well, it's pretty easy. They can go to our website, which is www.theraf.org. So it's theraf.org, and we like friends, and so it doesn't cost you anything to come and be a friend. You can sign up. You'll see what we're doing, and as I said, if you think we're doing a good job, send us a few dollars. If you think we're doing a great job, send us more.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, Mary, thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.